That's good preaching right there.
Yeah.
Amen. I was talking to somebody one time and talking about how I got involved in that motorcycle gang life and everything. I said I didn't intend to end up a convicted felon or drunk or dope head. I just wanted to have a good time, young person, and, you know, kind of hanging around with the cool crowd and the tough guys, and just wanted to, but they sing that song, sin will take you farther and you want to go and keep you longer and you want to stay. I'm here to tell you it's true. But I got to say this too. Now, I've been trying to live for Jesus Christ for 22 years now. I'm going to tell you the truth. The last 22 years have been the most fun. I've had a better time in my life living for God. Amen. Which just makes all that other time seem that much more wasted. You know, the Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 7. It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And some of us got a late start. And some of us had a rough start. But by the grace of God, we can finish right. I'm happy about that. Amen. All right, here we go. Amen. Ever wonder, there's some things that are kind of curious. Ever wonder why the sun lightens your hair but darkens your skin? You ever wonder about that? Ever wonder why women can't put on makeup or no, mascara, whatever that means. I don't even know what it is. With their mouth closed. Yeah, I was sitting at a stoplight the other day and the car pulled up next and I glanced over and I'm not going to imitate the contortions that this lady's face was going through while she was doing all that. But I just wondered about that, you know. Yeah, you know what? Now, I haven't noticed a psychic, you know, here since I've been in San Antonio, but we see them all over the country. There'll be, you know, a psychic sign, you know, the palm and everything. You ever wonder, now if they can really tell the future, wonder why you never heard of one winning the lottery. You know, and you ever wonder why doctors call what they do practice? Yeah, who got this list? You. Okay. All right. I hope you did. Amen. You ever wonder why lemon juice is made with artificial flavor, but dish soap is made with real lemons? Yeah, how about that? And you ever wonder why the man that invests all your money is called a broker? I got to tell you, if you want some investment advice, you ought to talk to me because I didn't lose a penny on Wall Street. Of course, there's a reason for that. Amen. Why isn't anybody, you want to make some money? Why didn't somebody invent mouse flavored cat food? Think about it. I mean, that's what they like to eat. I don't know. Yeah, ever wonder why Noah didn't swat those two mosquitoes? Boy, what a blood. Do you have them down here? Amen. And, do they do lethal injections in Texas? They do, don't they? For execute. Why do they sterilize the needle first? I mean, you know, what are they afraid? The guy's going to get infection? Amen. How about this? I like this one. You know that indestructible black box they put on airplanes? Why don't they just make the whole airplane out of that stuff? That'd be a good idea. Amen. And let me see. You ever wonder why sheep don't shrink when it rains? If flying is so safe, why do they call an airport a terminal? I mean, isn't that something? And, you know, the best one, I guess, is this right here. If con is the opposite of pro, then is Congress... No, I'll leave it to that. Take your Bible and go to 1 Titus. Amen. 1 Titus. Amen. I mentioned that I once directed a congregation to go to 2 Titus. And some of them were actually looking for it. But we're going to go to Titus. We're going to look at a couple verses here tonight. Verse 13. Well, how about this? Chapter 2. We'll go there first. Chapter 2. And let's begin in verse 13. The Bible says this, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. They are one and the same tonight. Amen? And I'm looking for Him. Amen. A friend of mine over in Florida once said this. It says, put your seat tables and your tray table, seat backs and tray tables in the upright position because we're getting ready to fly. You can figure that out. Amen. I believe we're getting ready to take off. I believe the Lord could come anytime. Amen. Amen. And I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it. I don't have a problem outside the judgment seat of Christ that the rapture wouldn't solve. Amen. And all right. Now let's move on. Verse 14, who gave Himself for us. So there's no doubt about the context. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. You know, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But here specifically, it tells you that the Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself.
Amen.
Salvation is a free gift to you and I, but it wasn't free.
Amen.
It wasn't free to the Lord. Most expensive gift ever given.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad I got it.
Amen.
Amen. I just hope I can continue to appreciate it all the days of my life. Because we are prone to wander like the hymn writer wrote. It says, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us. Redeem us. Now, the word redeem, back when I was a kid, pop bottles, soda pop, what do you call it in Texas? What do you call it? That, you know, Coke? Yeah, what do you call root beer? Coke, orange drink, Coke. That's like Florida. That makes a lot of sense. Amen. Anyway, it used to come in glass bottles back when I was a kid, and there's a deposit on them. Now, it was 2 cents when I was a kid. Some of you might be able to remember 1 cent. I don't know. But when I was a kid, the deposit was 2 cents, and my job as a seven, eight-year-old, whatever it was to keep track of the Coke bottles. How's that? And my dad, he'd drink about 6 Coke a week. And my mom, she drank Tab. Man, how anybody drank that nasty stuff? I think she did it just because I wouldn't like it. Then she switched to Fresca. That wasn't much better. But my job as a young guy was to make sure that when they finished and they had one, and they didn't drink a lot of them, but I had to make sure the bottle got back to the garage, back in the little carton, and then on Saturday when my mom would go to the grocery store, here I am, I'd got 2 six-packs of Coke bottles, and here I'd follow her in, and I'd hoist them up to the counter. I couldn't see, but I'd hoist them up and set them on the counter, and the person would take them, and what they did was they redeemed them. They redeemed them. 12 times 24, or 12 times 2 was 24. I'd give them the bottles, they'd hand me 24 cents, and that was my allowance for the week. So I didn't lose one bottle. I mean, I made sure they all got there. You try giving a kid 24 cents a week allowance these days, they will get a lawyer and sue you. Oh yeah, and there's probably one ready to do it. Amen. But I never knew what they did with the bottles. I mean, they were dirty. They'd been drank out of. I would listen, but I'm not hearing them being smashed in a pile somewhere. And as I got a little older, and then I was able to see over the counter, and I saw them, they'd take them, and they'd set them on a conveyor, and they would go down this conveyor and come to find out they went in the truck, and they went back to the bottling company. And at the bottling company, these bottles that had been redeemed, here's what they did. They cleaned them up. Then they filled them up.
Amen.
Then they used them. I tell you what, the Bible says, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us. And that's what He wants to do. He wants to clean you up and fill you up with the Spirit of God and use you for His honor and glory.
Amen.
And it goes on to say, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. What a blessing. You know, if the verse stopped right there, man, there is reason to worship. There's reason to praise the Lord. There's reason to be thankful that He was willing to go the distance for you and I to take care of something we couldn't take care of.
Amen.
But it doesn't stop there. The verse goes on to say, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Peculiar. That's a peculiar word. Amen. And you might wonder, what does that mean? And I just got to answer it like this. By the way, many Christians resist living a separated godly life. Only thing I can figure is they must think it means weird. Amen. And I'll tell you what, we don't mind being associated with Christianity, but we don't want to be considered weird.
Amen.
And the Bible says that one of the purposes of when what the Lord did on the cross at Calvary, to redeem us from all iniquity, but it says, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. So I thought, well, that surely can't mean weird, and I looked it up. I looked it up, and the definition goes like this. Singular, particular, you're going to like this, special. Now, didn't you always just want to feel special? It means this right here. Exclusive property. That which belongs to a person in exclusion of all others. In other words, this King James Bible right here is peculiar in that it belongs to me. Now, if you got one, and I hope you do, amen, well, then you've got a Bible that the text might be the same, but this one's mine. It even has my name on it, David Charles Spurgeon. That's peculiar Bible. Listen, if you're saved in here, you're the exclusive property of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And so, as I read the definition, and then I read it again to myself, and I thought, well, you know what? Weird isn't in there. That's not what it means, but sometimes we struggle, because again, we don't want to be considered weird. We don't want to be considered peculiar in the wrong sense. So, the Lord gave me this message on peculiar people, and so that we might be that for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to preach tonight on that thought, peculiar people. Would that be all right?
Amen.
That's good, because this is the only message I got with me.
Amen.
Amen. I got a couple others in my head, but I don't know how that works. Let's pray again. Father, I do come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for helping me with some issues today. And thank you, God, for letting us assemble here tonight. And Father, we pray that more than anything else, now we pray that you might be pleased.
Amen.
And Lord God, that you might be glorified.
Yes.
And Lord God, we need you, and we confess it, and we have no misconceptions about, Lord, just how much we need you. So please speak to our hearts as only you can, and when it's all said and done, Father, may everybody leave here closer to you than when they came in. And so I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, like I said, amen. All right, so peculiar people, some things about this peculiar people that he says that he gave himself for to purify unto himself. Peculiar people, number one, tonight, if you're saved in here, now you're a people of a peculiar birth. A peculiar birth. Jesus said, you must be born again, over there in John chapter 3. And in this birth here, this second birth, it's new birth. It's a peculiar birth. It's a peculiar birth this way right here. It's like, it's by choice.
Right.
The first one wasn't.
Amen.
The first one wasn't by choice. You didn't have anything to do with it at all. Amen. They gave me, listen, I've been saved a couple years in our church up there in Ohio, and you know, I'm just in church. I'm in Sunday school every week. I'm going to Bible Institute, and not because thought I was ever going to be a preacher, just because it was better than the places I'd have went if I wouldn't have went to Bible Institute. But then God called me to preach in a rescue mission that our church supplied the pulpit on Saturday nights, and I went up there, and I believe the Lord called me to preach. I was pretty sure of that. And so I just, you know, was trying to be faithful to whatever whatever was going on, whether if it was in a nursing home, if it was handing out tracts, whatever was going on, jail, I just went. And preacher came to me, I'd been saved a couple of years, and he came to me and said, David, the teenager, the high school teen, Sunday school teacher has quit. And he couldn't handle the kids, they were driving him crazy, they wouldn't listen, he got frustrated, and he quit, and Brother Esep had him upstairs in the adult Sunday school for a while, but he really wanted them to have their own class, and he approached me, he said, David, would you consider taking the teenager Sunday school class? Now, I thought that was kind of interesting, because, I mean, let's face it, who'd have ever, back in the 70s and the 80s, ever pictured Dave Spurgeon as a Sunday school teacher? Well, I'll tell you what, the way I was raised in the Lord was this right here. If the Lord opened the door, you went through it. And I didn't have to pray about whether I'd take it or not. When my preacher asked me if I'd be willing, I said I'd be willing to give it a try. The Bible does say be instant in season, out of season.
Amen.
And I just got to tell you, you know, you put me and 15 teenagers in a 12 by 12 room, and I shut the door behind me, I didn't have any problem with them kids. I didn't have any problem holding their attention for 45 minutes. We didn't have anybody talking while I was giving my little lesson. We didn't have anybody sleeping, I guarantee you that. We had a good time. We had a good time and had a good report, and that thing went pretty good. And you know, I got to know some of these kids a little bit, and one time I saw one, fellow looked bogged down. He had some issues, and he wasn't mad at me, but you know, he's mad at his parents, you know, I come to find out. And I talked to him after class. All the other kids went upstairs, and I said, hey, man, is there anything you want to talk about? Anything I can help you with? And he started telling me he was having a hard time at home. And then he said this very profound statement. I didn't ask to be born. That's duh. I said, no, you didn't ask to be born, but son, you better be thankful to God tonight that you were born to parents that care enough about you and love you enough to bring you to church and submit you to the teaching and preaching and of the King James Bible and expose you to the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot of folks that don't have that going for them. Now, it's true, he didn't ask to be born, and neither did you. Amen. But if you're saved in here, you did.
Amen.
If you're saved, that book says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
My wife and I, we was up in Rhode Island one time, and we was at a Cracker Barrel early in the morning, and had a bunch of folks in there, and here we're sitting there, and I got a jacket, got scripture on the back, and we're sticking out like a sore thumb. Amen. And we get a waiter. He is a nice guy. And we're talking about the Lord. We're praying. And boy, this kid says, oh, I notice you pray when you eat. And we got to talking. And when I noticed that talking about the Lord Jesus made other people in the restaurant kind of squeamish, a little uncomfortable, it, some reason it just made me louder. I don't get it, you know. But we're trying to witness, and then finally my wife asked this young man, he is a nice guy. He says, so how long have you been a Christian, you know? He said, oh, I've always been a Christian. I was born into a Christian home. I'm going to tell you something. You can be born in a church house, and that doesn't make you a Christian.
Right.
I'll tell you what, this peculiar birth is unlike that one you didn't have anything to say about. This one here is by choice. I'll tell you something else. This peculiar birth is, I'm not going to try to say something that's not 100% true and accurate, but I believe that in 99.9% of the time, if you really got it, it'll be a remembered birth. Now, I was born on February 10th, 1953, they called it a hospital. It was just about five rooms in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. I was born. Now, you know, there's some monumental things that have happened in my life. I mean, I remember where I was when Kennedy got assassinated. I remember, you know, when I graduated from paratrooper school and my parents came down to Fort Benning, Georgia, that was a pretty memorable day. And the truth of the matter is, when something really, really memorable happens in your life, you kind of hold that in your memory. You know where you were. You know what you're doing. But I'm going to tell you what is important. And February 10th was 1953. In my life, it was. Man, I have tried, but I just can't seem to remember any of the details of that day. Now, my parents, on the other hand, they remember it, and I cause them to regret it many times, no doubt. But I'll tell you something, man, that morning on November 30th, about 6 a.m., in the Montgomery County Jail, cell 2 up in the range on with the murderers up there in the federal holding, I tell you what, hey, the morning I laid that King James Bible on the floor next to my bunk, and I got down and I bowed my heart, and I confessed to the Lord that I had bigger problems in prison. I knew I was a sinner. I knew that if hell was real and the book said it was, I was going there, and boy, I didn't know what I was getting into, I'll tell you what, but I knew according to that preacher in that book what I was getting out of, and I bowed down there and I asked Christ to save me.
Amen.
Boy, and I'll tell you what, when the devil and the flesh and the world start to bear down on me, I'll tell you what, I get back to that place where I, hey, listen, if Jesus Christ can take care of that sin problem, what problem can he take care of?
Amen.
It helps me to go back. Now, 6 a.m., November 30th, I know where I was, I know what I was doing. Oh, I was in jail, man, I didn't have anything better to do than keep track. I've heard preachers say, if you don't remember the date, if you don't, that's hogwash.
Amen.
I know a lot of people, they didn't have any reason to remember that. They know, basically, but I'll tell you what, most people, as far as I know, everybody I know, they can tell you where they were. Maybe they don't remember the time. Maybe they don't remember the date. Maybe they don't have any reason to remember the exact. My wife doesn't remember the date. She celebrates the whole month of October every year right now. I got to say, in the month of October, I don't know what day it was, but glory to God. And then we'll be in churches somewhere, and she's got to say it every meeting we go to. You know why she does that? Because she's been saved 37 years to my 22, and she just likes to pull rank on me. That's what she does. I'll tell you what, I don't want to take you to the place where I got saved, but I could drive down West 2nd Street in Dayton, Ohio, and point to the building. There's bars on the window. We're talking about a peculiar birth here tonight. And that peculiar birth is by choice. And I got to say, I got to believe that if it's real, it would be a remembered birth. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now, something else. Now, it says, purifying themselves, peculiar people. And so this, if you're sitting here, you've had a peculiar birth. And I tell you something else. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 12. You got a peculiar book. You got a peculiar book right there. Psalm 12. Let's look at it. Here's what it says in verse 6. The Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words.
Amen.
As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, that book right there, that's a pure book. That's a pure book. Now, my girls and I, my whole family, we've been around, we've seen the Grand Canyon, we've been to Plymouth Plantation, we took time to have a good time. My kids don't regret being raised on the road in the ministry. They had a good time. Amen. I was giving some good advice early on. Amen. And, I followed it, and we had a pretty good time, but my wife, now my wife is a reader. My wife is bookish. That's what I call her. She sneak reads. She'll say, well, okay, everybody be quiet. I'm going to go back and take a nap. Now, we live in a motorhome, and there's one bathroom. And this holds true to even to this day. Even now the kids are all gone. She goes back to take a nap. And you know what? I probably should have went to the restroom before she shut the door. But there have been a few times where I have tried to be quiet. I've tried to sneak back there. My wife said, David, you can't sneak anywhere. You don't know how to whisper. We're in a motorhome. You cannot walk around without a whole place moving. And I didn't know how to take that, so I said, well, thanks. And there have been times where I would just, be as quiet as I could. She's back there napping. I don't want to wake her up. And I would open the door, and she's not sleeping. She's reading. I said, I thought you're sneak reading, aren't you? And she goes, no, you know. Well, anyway, what I'm saying is my wife likes books. She reads books. I say, read these books. If you find anything interesting, tell me. I'll use it for illustration. We go to New York City, man. We love New York City. We've been all over and you know, we've had a great time. And one day, we're up at Central Park, and we're walking down Fifth Avenue, heading down to the Empire State Building. And there it is, man. My wife sees it. The New York City Public Library. She sees it. And, oh, and I thought, what? You know, me and the girls, we're all looking, what? And can we go in there? And we're all like looking at each other, you know, sure, honey. Yeah, we can go in the library. Amen. And she puts up with us, so we put up with her. And so here we go in there, and I got to tell you, it's an impressive building. It's beautiful, marble columns, look like Washington, D.C., that kind of stuff. And then you get inside, and the wood, and the banister going up. It was neat. I was appreciating that kind of stuff. Then we got in this room, this big room, one of many. I mean, I don't even know how many floors it goes down under the ground. But it's a big library, biggest library, public library in the world. And we get in this giant room with literally thousands and thousands of books. And as soon as we step in, my wife's like, oh. And man, the girls are looking at her like, what is wrong with mom? We find a bench and we kind of all sit there together and lean on each other and try to stay awake. And my wife, she's like, oh. Oh, she's feeling them. She goes, oh, look at all these books. And I'm thinking, you know, she's the one that needs a psychologist. With all those thousands of books in that library, maybe millions, who knows, outside of a King James Bible, there isn't a pure book in there. But we got a bunch of them here in this room tonight. That's a peculiar book right there.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. According to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, and let's read that. Let me go to it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, the Word of God, for the Word of God is quick. That means alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what that means? When you're reading that book, it's reading you. And people get into that Bible and they want to start some denomination, they want to take some heresy and pursue it. Boy, you can find, if you want to handle rattlesnakes, it's in there. Amen. You want to drink poison? It's in there. Anything you want to, pursue a heresy, God will give you all the ammunition you need. Because see, He knows your heart when you open it. But I'm going to tell you what, if you'll approach that book like a child looking for truth, God will reveal truth to you. Amen. That's the most dangerous book that was ever written in the world because it's alive. It's a peculiar book. I'll tell you something else. Psalm 12, verse 7 says, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation, David's generation, forever. You know what that means? That means if, like the scholars try to tell us, the originals were inspired, the originals were pure, but they got lost. Well, if it was God's job to preserve them, then God lost them. Now I'd be concerned about that. Because right there is a promise that He was going to preserve them. Well, He made some promises to us in the New Testament that He's going to preserve us. And in my mind, in my way of thinking, if He can't keep that promise, why are we so secure that He can keep the one about, you follow me? That's a preserved book, beloved. And God's the one that's preserving it. You hear me? All right? And it's a productive book, too. It's peculiar. It's productive. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's a productive book. It produces life. We're born of it, it says. Amen? And then it's a profound book. Oh, it's a profound book. All is sinned and comes short of the glory of God. It's profound. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Amen? That's a profound truth. This is a profound book. That's what it does. It declares absolute truth. That's why people hate it. The educated crowd hates it. The scholars hate it. Amen. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Man, I love it.
Amen.
Amen. But it's a profound book. I needed absolute truth. Amen. Everyone did. Everyone does. And God's given it to us in the Bible. It's a profound, it's a peculiar book. It's a pure book. It's a preserved book. It's a productive book. It's a profound book. And it's a prophetic book. Now, that's the greatest history book that was ever written. You want to know about Israel? Right there it is. That's what the Old Testament is. The history of Israel. But this is such a peculiar book that it's a history book. It'll tell you history hadn't even happened yet.
Amen.
That's a prophetic book.
Amen.
And I've got news for you. Things are unfolding exactly the way the Bible says they're going to.
Amen.
So why in the world, of all the people in the world that are just shocked by the what's going on, why would we be?
Amen.
Amen?
Right.
And when Ahmadinejad, I can't even believe I can say that well. Yeah. And he stands up and says, we will destroy Israel. That's what he says. I went, really? It's not what my Bible says. That's a prophetic book. Amen? Tells the truth. All right? And so you got a peculiar, we're talking about peculiar people tonight. We got a peculiar birth and we got a peculiar book. And now we started in Titus chapter 2. Go back there. If you would, if you want to. If not, I'll read it to you. You're going to have to trust I'll read it right. That's why it's good to take the Bible to church.
All right, amen.
Amen. People that don't take the Bible to church, just listen to whatever the preacher said.
Right.
You know, there's some people that have been led astray like that.
Amen.
Some of them have been led astray because the preacher wasn't taught right in the first place. It looks like it says, verse 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Now, if you're saved, you got saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Here's what it says, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Listen, God's people are supposed to be a people of peculiar behavior. Peculiar behavior. And the later in the age, and I mean in the church age, the later in the church age we're getting, it gets the looser we're getting. I hear people say, well, you know, that's just your opinion, and I don't see anything wrong with this, and I don't see anything wrong with that. And as a young Christian, there's some things that, you know, there's some things that I knew had to change in my life. I didn't need a rocket science theologian to tell me there's some things I needed to quit doing. And I didn't have to have anybody beg me or convince me I needed to go to church or I needed to get a Bible. There's some things that are common sense. Seems like they should be. But I'm going to tell you what. So then early on people would say, well, you know, you guys say this and the Bible, but I don't think. And I thought, you know, you carnal rascal. But I come to learn that there's people, when they say, well, I don't see anything wrong with this, they're telling the truth, but I figured out why. And Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 says this, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Okay, new baby, that's what that means. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use. The context, righteousness, okay? Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I've had people, I don't doubt they're sure enough born again, want to say, well, I don't see it that way, and I don't agree, and I've come to realize that there's folks that are saved, they don't have enough Bible in them to know right from wrong. And they're still saved, but, you know, there's... You know, we want Christianity to be like salvation, where the Lord Jesus Christ did everything. Well, there's a little more to growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord than that. Amen. If all this thing was salvation, well, then why, the Bible wouldn't have to be near as big as it is. But Pauline's doctrine is to teach us how to live in such a way to please God and affect others for the cause of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be a people of a peculiar behavior, a denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly. And I'll tell you what, if you will, you'll be peculiar. Because we live in a day and age where anything goes. I'm going to tell you something. I drive around the country, lost people don't surprise me. Saved people surprise me. That's what... It blows my mind, some of the things I see in the churches. Listen, we're supposed to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're supposed to be a people of peculiar behavior. Maybe someone will ask us of the reason or the hope that lies in us, but they're going to have to see something different about us. Our problem these days, we're not a people of peculiar behavior. And we go to church on Sundays, so do millions and millions of lost people. Amen. Our problem is we fit in too well sometimes. We're supposed to be peculiar people.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself on the cross of Calvary. We get that in 1 Corinthians 15. It says that He died for our sins according to Scripture. And it says that in Titus 2. He gave Himself for us. And we know where and how He did. But it says, and there was more than one thing going on the cross of Calvary. You hear me? God can do two things at once. Did you realize that? It's important to Him that we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And He's given us what we need to do it. All right, peculiar people, peculiar birth, peculiar book, peculiar behavior. Anybody in here under the peculiar notion that this is a 3-point message? Okay, good. All right, let me tell you, hey, if you're saved tonight, we're talking about peculiar people. If you're saved tonight, then we were people of peculiar blessing. Peculiar blessing, too. Listen, our blessings now don't come from striving and conniving and hustling and wheeling and dealing. It used to be that way. Amen. Our blessings don't come from being lucky or being in the right place at the right time. You've all heard that. Maybe you've said that. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Amen. Faithful, what does that mean? Well, let's just start with this. Faithful to do right. Faithful to do right. How about faithful to study? To show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. If you can be faithful to do that, well, then you'll be approved of God. If you're not, well, then you'll be ashamed of yourself. We need to be faithful to pray. The Bible says the effects of fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen? We need to be faithful to give. It's scriptural. Amen. We need to be faithful to come to church. The Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner. Help me out. Somebody help me out. I can sure do it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another in so much the more as you see the day approaching. Thank you. Boy, as a manner of some is. Boy, that's what I see traveling around the country. Amen. People don't even come to their own revival meetings.
Amen.
Amen. We got great. This is going great. I kept waiting Wednesday night to find out who actually went to this church and didn't go to the other churches. I thought, is anybody going to come tonight? But it looks like most everybody was from this church. That's a blessing. I heard Dr. Don Green out of Lansing, Michigan say this one time. He said, he's been pastoring the same church like 55 years, so he's been around a while. He said, if what you got won't get you to church, are you sure it'll get you to heaven?
Amen.
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 Amen. You need to be faithful to come to church. You need to be faithful to witness.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says a faithful man shall abound with blessings. So we got a peculiar blessing. Our blessings come from faithfulness. But there's a problem, isn't there? We blow it sometimes. We're not always faithful. We're not always faithful in all these areas. We're not always faithful in sometimes several at once. Sometimes we just drop the ball in one area. So what is that mean? There's no blessing? No. You know what you can do? You can be faithful to go to God with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. You can be faithful when you mess up in any of these areas or something else that might have came to your mind. You can be faithful to get right with God. You can be faithful to go to God and say, God, I blew it. I'm sorry.
Amen.
And the Bible says it'll forgive you. The Bible says it'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The Bible says it'll wipe the slate clean, and then you're back in the blessing.
Amen.
Receiving business.
Right. Amen.
But you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to make the move. Just don't keep piling up unconfessed sin in your life. The Bible says a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again.
Amen.
Peculiar blessings tonight. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3 says this, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Well, that's a promise to Abraham concerning Israel. Listen, it's more important than ever to pray for Israel. I mean, what a smokescreen that everybody's focused on Washington, D.C. I'm going to tell you what, you better be focused on Jerusalem. You better be focused on what's going on in Israel. I have a missionary. One of the missionaries that my wife and I support. We have 14 ourselves. One of the missionaries we support is to Israel. Say, oh, that sounds very spiritual. I'm going to confess to you, it's selfish. God made a promise that if we'll bless Israel, He'll bless us. And I want to get in on that blessing because I need it. And I thought, what better way can you bless Israel than to send them the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
And to pray
Amen.
For them.
Amen.
Now, I got news for you. It's more important than ever to pray for America.
Amen.
I love my country. I'm sad. And I understand where we're at, and I understand, you know, where we're at in time and all that, but it still saddens me to see what's going on here. Amen. I'm a veteran. I'm a son of a veteran. My great-grandfather fought for Robert E. Lee. Amen. Some of you didn't like them Ohio plates out there. Now, there, take that. I've heard preachers say, I don't like it. They say, God can bless America. Because of this and because of that. And I understand we got a lot of problems. But I'm going to tell you something. I didn't walk in here tonight with my Bible in a brown paper bag or tucked under my coat.
Amen.
We're not meeting in a basement somewhere with the windows blacked out.
Amen.
There's still a sign on the front. There's still flyers being passed out. That door is still unlocked. We're not in here holding our voice down. I'd never make it as a preacher in China. Looks to me like God's blessing America right now.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Regardless of what else is going on everywhere else, you and I better take advantage of it while we can.
Yeah.
It may change. Things are changing before our eyes on a daily basis. I saw the ammo rack at Walmart today. It's pretty scary. My wife likes guns. She's not a felon. Amen. Peculiar blessing. Here's what I say last of all. Last of all, we're people of the peculiar benefits. Here it goes. John 3:36 says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. There's a lot of benefits being a Christian, but for the sake of time, we'll just cut to the main one. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Boy, I wouldn't want any part of that. If you're saved here tonight, then you're going to get in on a peculiar benefit, everlasting life. You know, someone said, serving the Lord doesn't pay very much, but the benefits are out of this world. I'll tell you what, it pays just fine. Pays just fine, and the benefits are out of this world. Now listen, I've never lived in a mansion. I never expected to. I don't expect to now. I live in a 15-year-old Winnebago. And you'll say, how can you do that? Because I got one up there. We're going to live forever in heaven in a mansion. You know, I would live under a bridge in heaven in a glorified cardboard box. That wouldn't bother me. The benefits, eternal benefits, we're going to be safe. Safe at last. Safe from sin.
Amen.
Safe from sorrow.
Amen.
Safe from sickness.
Amen.
Safe from Satan.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
You know what I'm really looking forward to being safe from?
Yeah.
Self.
Amen.
I'm so tired of myself.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. I need that. Be like him. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Only through and never apart from Jesus Christ our Lord. Peculiar benefit. That's a pretty good one, huh? Eternal life. Take your Bible, go to 1 Peter chapter 2. And let me give you a verse. I know you're thinking, I thought he said, last of all. That's just a preacher trick. Yeah, then we say, I'll close with this. And you know, we got a whole line of things. I'm giving away all the secrets. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. And I understand the doctrinal application. But then it says this, a peculiar people. And here's why. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Are you saved in here tonight? Well, that's what happened. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. But the reason we need to get a hold of the importance of being peculiar for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is this simple truth right here. That ye should show forth the praises of him. Really? To who? Show forth the praises of him to who? To people that are still in darkness. He left us here to be a witness. And we're going to have to be a little different. And boy, we're different on the inside. And we're different eternally. But between now and then, this world's got to see something. Amen? And it's real easy. They need to see the Lord. I know. It's overwhelming. But he's got this figured out. We need to quit trying to figure it out and rationalize and analyze and justify. Just do what he said. Wonder what would happen if we just do what he said. Amen. So if within the quietness of your own spirit, you might in response to do others see Jesus in you, maybe if the answer is not in the affirmative, then do something about it. Maybe there's an area, maybe there's a place, maybe there's a lot of things, I don't know. But maybe that's what needs to be given some consideration. I guarantee it. And that's what the Lord would like to put a light on tonight. It's not about you. It's not about your opinion. It's not about what you think or what you'd like to do. Or it's not about what you think it means. It's not about you. It's about him. Now, you might be in here tonight and not be saved. And so I'm going to say this. You know, we're running through this peculiar birth and peculiar behavior, and peculiar book. The only way to get in the family of God is through a peculiar blood. And it's not A or B or O. It's not, there's no RH factor. It's, according to Acts 20, it's God's own blood. And it was shed on the cross. And 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. We sang about it tonight. What can wash away my sin? Praise the Lord. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, if your sins aren't gone, they can be. Amen. I'm talking about for eternity's sake. If you're not a born-again child of God tonight, you can get it. You can get it. He made it easy enough for me. What a crying shame. Anybody in this room ended up in a devil's lake of fire in light of what Jesus Christ did for every one of us. And what a crying shame it'll be too. And for those of us that got in on the greatest gift there ever could have been, to stand before Jesus Christ to give an account of ourselves, the Bible says, so then everyone shall give an account of himself to God. We're going to give an account for our conduct as a Christian. And you know, I don't think there's going to be a long list of questions. I think when we see him, we're going to know some things. Amen. And what we're going to know is that we let him down.
Amen.
I think on our best day, we're going to let him down. But what about on our average day?
Amen.
You need to talk to God about something tonight. That'd be a good thing to do. That'd be exactly what needs to be done. That's what makes this real. Not a seminar. It's about doing business with God. And if the Spirit of God spoke to your heart, speak back to Him. If you're here and you're not saved, you need to get saved.
Amen.
You better get saved. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I got news for you. It's getting crazy out there. It's getting crazier by the day. Young people are not just getting shot, they're dying of heart attacks. It wasn't like that 40 years ago. Crazy stuff's happening. Boy, I'll tell you what, I don't have any guarantee I'll make it back to my motorhome tonight. But if I don't, I have a guarantee where I am going to be.
Amen.
Well, I hope you're saved tonight. And if you are, and I know most everybody is, maybe everybody is. Boy, I'll tell you what, the Lord wants to use us in these last days, and He knew when to put us here. I find that exciting. Let's all stand. Preacher, you come.